I think this Easter I'm going to do as I did once some years ago, I think. I'm going to work on the book of Acts, you see, because that's the story of the risen Christ in the church. But it's just a way word or two about this. All week we have different accounts of our Lord's appearances, okay? This one, they're all so excited. Now Jesus says, go tell my brothers. They're his brothers now. He's risen from the dead. They're his brothers. That line is the line that's the, one of the last lines of the psalm that begins, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it ends, I will announce your name to my brothers. So go announce my name to your brothers. Finish the whole rhythm of the psalm. And that's what he does at every liturgy. He's here, announcing the Father's name to us. The other story is such a, even at a cursory reading, such a hodgepodge of confusion and lie. Huh? The guards went and told them what happened. They said, your disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. If you were asleep, how do you know who stole him? I mean, it's ridiculous. We'll fix it up and we'll pay money. And that must have been the account, but you see what the first reading tells us, the other side of the story. The beauty and the power of the risen Christ preached by Peter and converting thousands. So you've got the enemies and the opponents among the Jewish people, but you've also got the disciples and those who are with him. And so this, of course, is taken from Pentecost, because that's when the power and beauty of the Lord is made manifest by the Holy Spirit. So then Peter stood up. Now you see, there'd been this tremendous... if you've ever been to Jerusalem, we're probably... you see, it's over by the Jaffa Gate. Then you take a left and you walk down that street by the Armenian Quarter. And then over here on this side, there's an old... the bottom of it is an old synagogue. It's probably the first Christian church. It's the mother church of all Christianity. And they were kind of in that synagogue, you know, or around that area. Then Pentecost happened. We can count on this. When we need this kind of, we'll get this kind of courage when we need it. You know, these guys were hiding out. The picked, hand-picked, 3 years trained of disciples. And then Pentecost came. And here's Peter, the guy who said, I never heard of him, now standing there telling the whole world about him. See, this is why, this is the risen Christ in the church. That's why it's worth, like it's the fifth gospel. We talk about, this is the Logos incarnate in Christ. Four gospels. Now the Logos incarnate in his church. The whole Christ in his church. So he stood up. You see? And God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death. Then this interesting understanding of how to understand the Old Testament. Already, though our Lord had prepared them in mighty ways, he stayed with them 40 days after the resurrection, right? What was he doing? Now, in the light of his glorious presence, he's showing them what the Old Testament really means. He's training them to understand the spiritual sense of Scripture and lots of other things as well. So, Peter quotes Psalm 16. You see? It couldn't have been about David himself, because David died and here's his tomb. But this notion that the Logos, present in all the prophets and all the psalmists and all the holy people, was already creating an understanding of himself. This is what the Old Testament is. And we need it because it's background. It's what would be the right word? It's filling in this plan that we see and we're celebrating yesterday and today. You see, this reality, this was in God's mind, of course, from all eternity. But when he called Abraham, I will raise a son of Abraham who will be my son, and I will raise him from the dead and give hope to the world. That's what we have here. So you have this Psalm 16. You will not abandon my soul to the nether world, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. Life, life. I'm alive. You fill me with joy in your presence. Now, brothers, we can constantly say, confidently say to you that David died. Here's his tomb. So who's he talking about? See? Well, he was a prophet, you see? And he was talking about his son, his heir. God raised this Jesus, of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of the Father, he poured forth the promise of the Holy Spirit that he received from the Father, and that's what you see in here. You see, it takes a risen humanity to be the source of the Spirit. Jesus had to rise, transform humanity. The Father had to work that in him. And now this transformed, divinized humanity is the source of the Holy Spirit. He pours him out. How many pour out texts do we have? I wrote a little article on this once, but you could go count them out yourself. How many times does the Father promise in the Old Testament that he will make good on everything he has ever said, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be, which is yet to come, that part. You see? And one of the ways it's expressed is, I will pour out my spirit. Joel, the one that the text that Peter quotes right here. I've done this before, right? Isaiah. You know, there's a couple of there in Isaiah. Then there's Ezekiel. And then there's Jeremiah. There's Hosea. When they want to talk about God making good on all he has ever promised in a way that even they could see was going to transcend the words that they had, they often said, he will pour out his spirit. And so now, Jesus, God, pours out the spirit in and through this humanity he's been given back by the Father, raised, glorious, beautiful, powerful. And the transformed humanity can give to us the Holy Spirit. And he does every day at this Eucharist. St. Ephrem used to say, when you receive this bread, you receive the fire of the Holy Spirit.